If I ever climb to the heights of life where the soul is atoned with blood, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward come. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid Lord says, come and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward come. The way of the cross leads home.
I know this is a Christmas song. You all recognize it as a Christmas song, but it is. But man, it's got a great message to it. So we've sung it in the past, and we'll sing it throughout the year because it's a great song. Here we go. On a night Christ was born, just before break of morn, all the stars in the sky were fading.
Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
Isn't it good? He came to this earth to die for us. Jesus knew when he came, he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow. But he left paradise with his blood. He paid the price, my redemption.
Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
All right, this week is Tuesday's going to get busy, guys. We're going to have Young at Heart at 10:30 on Tuesday. I hope you'll come be a part of that. And then Tuesday night will be Ladies Bible Study at 7 back in Summer Hall. So I hope that you'll plan on coming to that. And normally we wouldn't have the two of those things the same day. But last week was Independence Day, and so we decided to postpone the Bible study till this Tuesday. So come be a part of that, ladies, with it. Bring a friend and be involved with that. And then last but not least, there's going to be a baby shower. Some of the ladies have put together a baby shower for Prairie Copeland, and she's expecting two little baby girls. And so that is going to be on the 22nd. That's a Saturday at 10:30 at the home of Bergen and Cooper Downer. And registration for that is online on Amazon. So take care of that little family and their upcoming new little babies. Collins and Bristol already got names. So we look forward to seeing those kiddos come into the world. Let's go ahead and invite Andrew to come forward. Andrew and his wife Evangeline, of course we know them, you guys, most of you know them, but they've been on furlough traveling the country and making lots of miles, and so he finally got a little time to come and be with us and have a service with us, going to tell us what's going on with Saipan. And I'm not sure, he might shoot somebody here. He's got a little spear gun here. So anyway, we'll turn it over to you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I realized that we were here before. Did I get that? You don't hear me? We'd just been sitting in services, so it's an opportunity. Those who haven't had a chance, haven't had a chance to meet my whole family. Thank you. I'm going to hold that for you. Okay, great. My wife, Evangeline, she's originally from the Philippines and came to Palau for work as a physical therapist, and was through my Bible studies through my dad that she got saved. And we got married in 2015. And then this is my oldest, Jonathan.
Hi.
He's 6 years old. And then Andrea, she's 4. And Abigail, she's 3. Then Elijah, he's 1. And he'll be 2 next month. And one of the things I brought up here with me is a spear gun. Okay, just stay right there. A spear gun, and they like to do a lot with the ocean down there. Being from the islands, you're talking Palau and Saipan both, just a few small islands. And in Palau, the biggest island is about 15 miles long by 5 miles wide. Kind of the opposite of what it is here, where everything's flat and you can drive forever. And then here, there, you drive for 15, 20 minutes, hit water, gone too far, turn around, go the other way. So they do a lot of things around the water. And culturally speaking, men, I'm sure you'll appreciate this, culturally speaking, the men are expected to go out and go fishing. Bring in fish for the family. And so with that being said, they do a lot of things with food and fish. And they will bring like any kind of activities and things that are happening. Usually they will bring food to the different families, whether it be a wedding, whether it be a funeral, whether it be just a family get together. Usually they'll go out and bring fish in. And I tell you what, there's nothing quite like catching fish in the morning and then eating it for lunch. Oof. That is absolutely delicious, the freshness of that. But anyway, they do a lot with that, and we brought a fish from the islands that we would like to give to Pastor, and a little something to say thank you to him and the church for y'all's faithful prayers and support. Pastor, come here, please. Set this down right there. And I think you know what kind of fish this is. This is a blue marlin.
Oh, wow.
a little message to say thank you for your faithful prayers and support.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
I could not do what I do without y'all's faithful prayers and support. Very importantly, your prayers. It is desperately, desperately needed. Because as I'm sure you're seeing what's happening around here, Satan is constantly attacking men, constantly attacking the family. And if he can destroy men, if he can destroy the family, so goes the church. Because the church is made up of families that have committed their lives to the Lord and then continue to grow. Because God created the family to be that ultimate example of what we should be. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I brought this spear gun up here with me this evening. Now, usually when you go out spear fishing, you will have a mask, a snorkel, and fins, and a spear gun. You'll dive down 15, 20, sometimes 50 feet. You'll shoot a fish, bring it back up, and some of the guys I've learned to go spearfishing with, they can hold their breath anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes. Absolutely amazing. I don't know how they do it. My maximum is about a minute and a half. That's about as good as I can get. But nonetheless, they usually have a spear gun with them, and usually what they do, this is your propulsion, basically. You pull it back, hook it to the spear right there. This is your trigger. You'll pull that trigger, and the whole spear comes out, and that's what they use to shoot the fish. And this is a mixture between a daytime spear gun and a nighttime spear gun, because your daytime spear gun will also have a runner on it, runs up and down the shaft, and it, with the string up back on it, connects back to the spear. So just in case you miss, you can still retrieve your spear. You're not like diving even deeper trying to retrieve your spear. And I've had a day or two where that happened to me, and fishing day was over. I could not get the spear, and it's time to go home. So nonetheless, nighttime is a pretty interesting time to go out spear fishing as well, because you usually have an extra piece to your equipment. And that's a waterproof flashlight. And you can shine the light in the fish's eyes, and they freeze. And you can get up pretty close to them and get them. So for me, some of the biggest fish I've ever caught was at night because I could get so close. They didn't see me coming. You know, I'm struggling to get down there. But I got them. Well, one evening, I can make another great sermon illustration. One evening when I was out nighttime spearfishing, and I tell you what, when you're out nighttime spearfishing, you really got to rein in on your fears, because only thing you can see is what your flashlight's on. So any kind of brush, any kind of movement in the water, what was that? You know, something's, yeah. And I tell you what, I have gotten scared a couple of times where I'm swimming, you know, you got your reef and then it gets a wall dive in. So you're shining your light and you can see nothing. It's just pitch black. And you think all those Jaws movies, you shine out, there's something, you know, some big coming up out of the deep. You know, you gotta rein in so you don't freak yourself out. But this particular night when I was out fishing, going along the reef, hadn't caught very much, and I was about 45 minutes out, I turn around and look behind me, and I see about a 4 to 5 foot reef shark following me. Boy, I tell you what, if I could run on water, I'd have been out of there in nothing. But I couldn't. And so I'm like, ooh, what is this shark doing? I start making my way back to the shore, because I'm like, I'm going to get to shallower water. Hopefully the shark will stop following me. Well, for about 15 minutes, every time I look back, that shark is still there following me. And of course, I'm getting scared. Then it finally dawned on me, what am I doing? I have a spear gun in my hand. I could turn around and shoot this shark, bring back the biggest fish of the night. And so then I turn around, I go after that shark. Shark takes off. Never see it again. And I like to use that as a neat illustration. Christians, how often are we like that? Not realizing that we have the tools that we need right here, that we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to allow the cares of this world, the sharks that come in surrounding us. We've got the answers we need right here. But what do? You find yourself like me. Oh, no, something's going to get me. That's like, wait, why are you running? You know, don't be afraid. This evening, I ask you to open up your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter number 37. Psalms 37 and verse 1 starts off and it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Heavenly Father, pray tonight as we look into your word. Please help us not to live in fear, Father, but to take the boldness that you offer through your word to continue being witnesses and examples for you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that first word there in verse 1, the word fret, is a word that we don't use very much in the English language. But you know what a word is that we do use? Worry. Worry. Here the Bible says, "Worry not, fret not thyself because of evildoers." Don't be afraid what evil people are going to do. Why? Because evil people are going to do evil. What are we going to do about it? I know, we can worry about it, right? What can we do besides worry? We can do like what it says in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't worry about what evil people are going to do. God has got things in his time. He's got things working out. I serve a God that he's in control of everything. So why do I need to worry? Don't. Simply put, don't worry about it. Don't fret yourself. You know, oh, what's going to happen? How's this going to work out? Hey, stop. God is in charge. I tell you what, Christians, when we find ourselves doing something the Bible says don't do, you know what we're doing? Sinning. Don't worry. Trust in the Lord. And the verse continues on and says, "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Not only we're not to worry about the evil, but we're not to envy those that are doing wrong. And you know, I tell you what, that can become very easy for us. It says, well, I wish I had their money. Well, I wish I had their position, their car, their house. I wish I had what they had. Because you know, if I had what they had, I would serve the Lord with it better than them. Really? No, you wouldn't. You'd be in the same situation as them. Don't envy the evil. Don't envy, don't desire to have those things that they have. Why? Because we see the consequences in verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The consequences of evil is still there. Amen. Amen. Instead, we need to do as it says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. One of the aspects, when I look at this thing about talking about trusting in the Lord, it brings across one of my favorite passages of scriptures, which I'm sure is very familiar to a lot of you, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Y'all familiar with that verse? Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Is that what it says? No. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what? We all have life experience. We all have an education of some sort. But when it comes to trusting in the Lord, we cannot rely on that. God works things out. Sometimes it blows our mind. God, how did you? It's God. Trust in Him. Don't rely on your own understanding. And in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Do you realize that if you, I don't know if you realize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, but God is still in charge. Always. He is in charge, and it's for us to acknowledge that, because sometimes people ask God, God, why did this happen? Or, you know, I'm gonna get it done in my own power. I'm going to get this done. Wait, stop. God is in charge. I need to make sure that I am humbling myself and acknowledging that in the Lord. One of the ways that I try and do that in my own life is to say, Lord willing, Lord knows, God knows. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but God knows. I'm trusting Him. And we have to acknowledge that. Amen? Amen. And I love how it goes on and says, acknowledge Him. And it said, trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I serve a God that wants me on the right path. He knows the best path. He knows the future. He knows everything. I have to acknowledge Him and make sure I am following Him. Yes. Amen. Then I always like to add verse number 7, which says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Christians, we don't know what's best. We don't. Sometimes we get on the path and we say, God, I see, God, where you lead me. And okay, take the reins. I'm going. Wait. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep going where He wants you to go. And I love the fact that it goes on and said, get rid of the evil, simply put. There's a lot of evil in this world around us today. A lot. Christians, be quick to get rid of it when you acknowledge it. When you see it, when it's there, be quick to get rid of it. Because Satan is doing his hardest to break Christians down, to discourage them, to get them to a point where they are not effective for him. So get rid of the evil. Amen. Psalms 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4 continues, says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How many have desires in your heart this evening? Every single one of us. I'm sure it's got some sort of desire. Do you see that from the scripture, God wants to give us the desires of our heart? It's pretty neat, huh? I think that's neat, but we also see here, I'm not talking about some name it and claim it, some prosperity gospel garbage like you see happening on TV. No, I'm talking about what the Bible says. And what the Bible says here, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of the heart. You want the desires of your heart met? We must first delight in the Lord. Now, when you think of the word delight, what does that mean? To enjoy, good, to find pleasure in. That same aspect is true. Do we find pleasure in the same things that the Lord finds pleasure in? Some of the things that come to mind is, do we find pleasure in gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we find pleasure delighting in God's word, in prayer? I'll tell you what, God wants to take care of us. He wants to take care of His children. And when we start to delight in the same things He delights in, our desires become more like His desires. And just like any good, loving Heavenly Father wants to take care of His children. Amen? Amen. But you know what? If I tell my son, hey, go clean your room. And he turns around and says, stop telling me what to do. I'm going to clean my room when I want to clean my room. Then he's like, can I have some money to go hang out with my friends? Go do what I told you to do first, and then we'll talk. Hey, our Heavenly Father's no different. We need to make sure we're doing what we know is right. We need to make sure we're doing what God has already told us to do. And not just say, God, bless me as I go do what I want to do. No, we need to make sure we're seeking His will and doing what's right. And He will take care of us. And I love the fact that as a missionary and as I've got to travel, stuff like spearfishing and learning to scuba dive, just little things that God has blessed me with, the desires of my heart that I've been able to see come true in my own life. But I need to make sure I keep putting Him first and making sure I'm delighting in the same thing He delights in. Verse 5, it continues, and it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. As I travel around and as I've seen, this verse comes true all over the world, that Christians are being challenged on their commitment for Him. Are we going to keep going no matter what? Are we going to be steadfast in the Lord, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor is not in vain? Or are we going to get easily discouraged? Or are we going to allow the situation of this world around us to beat us down? Christians, we have to stay committed. We have to make sure we keep the right attitudes about us. Because when I look at this aspect of commitment, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, how He told His disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation. It's going to be hard. When you got saved, you didn't, you know, it's not some, everything's over, everything's, oh, life is going to be easy. No, you joined a battle. Of course, you joined the winning side when you got saved, but you still joined a battle. And we have an enemy that wants to destroy, to kill, to deceive. He wants to make you ineffective. And we have to make sure that we stay strong in the Lord. And we look forward to that blessed hope. We look forward to that rest. But while we're here, we're not going to have it. Jesus Christ said, in this world, He shall have tribulation, but He didn't stop there. He went on to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Go with me to Acts chapter number 5. Christians, how would you react if you got falsely accused, if you got thrown into jail? How what would your attitude be when you're trying to do what's right and everything seems to be going wrong around you? In Acts chapter number 4, in verse number 29, the early church was coming together and they were already suffering persecution. They were already being threatened. They were already facing difficulties. But you know what they prayed for? In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Christian, do you see that as they faced some of the difficulties in their life, back thousands of years ago, as they were facing difficulties, what did they pray for? Not, God, make it easier. God, please take away our enemies. No, they prayed and said, God, please give me boldness to continue sharing the gospel. Please give me boldness. This life is hard. But God, please help me to be bold. Help me not to be timid. Help me not to, you know, hide. Oh, no, what's going to happen? I'm going to get discouraged because they don't like me. No, God, please give me boldness that I may share the gospel. And as we go on there, say, God gave them boldness. In the very next chapter, as they went out and began to preach to the children of Israel there, and as they were in the synagogue, the religious leaders of the time came and said, stop it! Stop preaching in the name of Jesus! You're causing an uproar! You're causing people to get angry! Just stop it! But you know what their response was? Verse 29. And to Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, mind you, we see from Scripture, we're not to go against the leadership. We're not to go against our elected officials. God has placed those people there for a reason. Sometimes I get frustrated and angry. God, why is our country going this way? Of course, God knows. God is doing something. I may not always see what it is. But wait, I have to keep doing what's right. I have to trust in the Lord and do good. But when they stand between God and I have to be willing to face the consequences and answer the same way they did. We have to serve God rather than man. Amen. We have to keep doing what's right. And you know what? They suffered. They immediately, we see that they took them and threw them into jail. And they begin to talk with themselves. And skip down to Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Which says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. How would your attitude be this evening? If you were out passing out jars, you were door knocking, you were trying to tell somebody about Jesus, you had, God did a miracle in your own life and you wanted to share that, and they said, stop it, and threw you in jail. Then as you were coming out, a group came and beat you up and said, you better stop preaching in the name of Jesus. How would you feel? Angry? Maybe in some cases you'd get a little bit discouraged. That's sometimes a lot of us would do. Why, God? Why did this happen to me? But you know what their attitude was? Look at the next verse, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Christians, we have to make sure that we don't so easily get offended, that we so easily get discouraged. The early apostles, they knew, God, thank you that I was thrown into jail. God, thank you I suffered shame. I was physically beaten for you, that I could share your name. Christians, it's going to get more and more and more difficult before Jesus returns. We're going to see this. We're already seeing this happening again today. We're not seeing it as prominent here in America, but look what happened after COVID. Look how quickly people turned against the church. Look how quickly people are like, oh, afraid of something. You know, it's coming again. And Christians, we have to pray for that same boldness that the disciples prayed for, the early church prayed for. God, please help me to be bold to continue sharing the gospel. Because in this world, we are going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer tribulation. But we can make sure we have the right attitude. As Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Be happy. Oh, it's hard. That's really hard. But Jesus said we can do it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christians, my church, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you constantly to stay close to the Lord. As you come together with brothers and sisters in Christ, when you feel that discouragement, don't hide in a corner thinking, oh, well, it's going to get better. I just need some time alone. Hey, you know what? You need to make sure you're praying, reading the Bible, and being faithful in church. And that encouragement comes back. And I like how back in Psalms chapter 37, it talked about delighting in the Lord. It talked about staying committed to the Lord. And verse 7, as we face the trials and difficulties, you know what we can do? As we face stresses, as we face anxiety around the world, as we face it in our life today, verse number 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. God has an answer for those anxieties and those stresses. We can rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do you realize that aspect of waiting patiently? Wait and patient are not the same word. That's something all of us got to deal with at times. Like, well, I am being patient. They had better hurry up. That is not being patient. If you look up the definition of the word patient, it is waiting without complaining, waiting without murmuring, waiting knowing that God is in charge, that he has a plan and a direction. That's challenging at times. And I tell you what, as I've traveled around the United States, it can be very challenging coming across crazy drivers as you go around. But you know what? We can wait patiently in the Lord. I tell you, sometimes when I'm finding my anxiety, when I'm getting stressed, it's like, wait a second, why? Well, am I fretting because of evildoers? Am I trying to control the situation instead of trusting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him? One of the aspects, looking at this, I love how two other passages of Scripture brings this aspect of patience. And we looked at difficult times as they come across our path. Look at, go with me to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Number 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Boy, do you find yourself joyous when you fall into temptations? When you're surrounded by difficulties? No, but it continues. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Difficulties are going to come in our way, are going to come in our lives, but we have to patiently face knowing that, hey, there's a reason, there's a purpose. God is working this out for a reason. And in my own life, I have seen that trials, difficulties, temptations, these things, that difficulties in my life come for one of two reasons. One, consequences. I was pushing to get something done that God was said no to. And finally, God said, okay, go. See what happens. I needed to learn a lesson. I'm sorry, God. Help me to do better. Or two, God is trying to help my faith to grow. God wants me to be physically, spiritually stronger so I can face something else down the line. Y'all know a lot of my story about what's happened to our family in the past. And one of the aspects that my wife and I like to share is one of the faith growing and faith. It was a difficult situation. It was a faith growing situation was the birth of Abigail, my third child. When she was born about 3 weeks early. And her lungs were underdeveloped. She could not breathe on her own. I know that God was in it the whole way. He moved us, my wife and I, from Palau to Saipan, because I think if she would have been born in Palau, she would have died, because they don't have the facilities. They don't have the medicines and doctors and stuff that they have like they do in Saipan. Well, she was born, they immediately took her to the NICU and put her on breathing machines, and we're trying to help her get to breathe. And it was brought to our attention, said she could die. It's a very real possibility that she could die. And of course, one of the first things is like, my wife is still in recovery. She had to have an emergency C-section. And now my little girl is fighting for her life. And it was like, just, you get shocked. And then my wife and I cried together and we prayed together. And we realized, you know, children are a gift of the Lord. I've seen so many people get bitter and angry towards the Lord because of the gift that God had given them. And like, God, how dare I get angry at the gift that you gave us if you decide to take that gift back and use it for something else? That's something my wife and I had to come to realization. We had to, in a sense, give that gift back and say, God, your will be done. We're going to stay faithful in you. Of course, we don't want our child to die. Please heal her. Please help her to grow, but thy will be done. As you saw, she made it through okay. No problem. No complications. Now she says, we have to keep her calm because she keeps fighting with her brother and sister. But what it did was it brought that aspect of faith that my brother counted all joy when he fell into the diverse temptations. We have to, knowing that God is bringing us through this for a reason. For a purpose. I don't see and I don't understand why, but it's for me to keep trusting in the Lord, to keep acknowledging Him, realizing that He could take care of me. Amen. Amen. I love how Romans chapter number 5 continues that very same idea. If you would go there, please. Romans chapter number 5. As we face the difficulties, as we face the trials, as we face these hard times, how can we face them? Romans chapter number 5, verse 1. It says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at what Jesus Christ did and what he went through, we can have peace through him. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. Not beat down, not slumped over, no, but we can stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in, see that next word? Tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So the next time you're like, you know what? God is going to allow us to continue face hard times. Because he's not like our modern day school system where they're just trying to pass you through, just trying to scoot you along. No. If we don't pass a test, he gives us the opportunity to do it again and again and again until we pass that test. So what do we do when the trials come? It works patience in our life. And patience gives us experience. If God took care of me before, he's going to do it again. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I see this very thing, and I'm also reminded of the birth of my little one, Elijah. When he was born 9 weeks early and had the same problem. His lungs were underdeveloped. He could not breathe. And they, again, emergency C-section, took my wife, took him off to the NICU. But you know what, at this time, I've already had some tribulation. I already went through some, let patience have its work. Now I had experience and hope. Knowing that God took care of me before, he's going to continue to do so. And I tell you what, when we face hard times, when we face difficult times, if we can make it through, next time it comes up, it's going to be that much easier for us to face. We're knowing, hey, God's going to take care. God's going to provide. How are you doing this evening? Is there difficulties? Is there hard times in your own life? I bring these aspects across because we look at things that we worry about. We have to make sure that we're not worrying. We're not desiring the things that are wrong. Instead, we need to keep trusting in the Lord. We need to make sure we're delighting in the Lord. We have to stay committed to the Lord. We have to patiently wait on the Lord so that way we can be effective witnesses for him. Amen? Because I talked about being committed before, about keep going no matter what. You know what's something else we have to stay committed to? Church. We have to stay committed to sharing the gospel. Because if we don't stay committed to sharing the gospel, you know, who's going to do it? Oh, the government? Oh, our public schools? No. Before Jesus Christ left, he left his church with the responsibility to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? This is not the church. Amen? When Jesus died, he died for his church. He didn't die for no buildings. He died for people. And he told his church, church, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, a lot of times we invite people to church. We pass out tracts. Yeah, those are good. But the church is not made up of lost people. Amen? It's made of saved, baptized believers who assemble together. So inviting unsaved people in is not what God intended. Instead, we're to go to them, lead them to Christ, and as they get saved, we bring them into the church, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then you know what? Our responsibility doesn't stop there. It continued. It said, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Christians, God gave each and every single one of us a personal responsibility to make sure we're out there telling others about Christ. It's not pastor's sole responsibility. It's not the church's staff sole responsibility or your missionary's sole responsibility. No, it's every single one of us. You support, pray for missionaries to take the gospel to far off distant lands. But you know, somebody who I cannot reach your neighbors, your coworkers, your children, your grandchildren. I cannot reach them. But you know who can? You can. And if you don't know what to say and you're not uncertain, pastor would love to sit down with you to help you mark your Bible, to help you get the words to say, so that way you can prepare yourself to make sure you're saying what's right. And I challenge you with this illustration. One day when I was out spearfishing, I saw a school of fish coming together. And so I loaded up my spear gun and I waited till they start get closer together. And I thought, wouldn't it be so cool if I could shoot two or three fish in one shot? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I loaded up my spear gun, I dove down, and I shot in the school of fish. You know how many fish I got? Nothing. You know why I didn't get any fish? I wasn't aiming at any fish. I was just shooting and hoping to get something. Christians, who are you aiming for? Who are you aiming for to reach the gospel? Yes, we have a lot of people around here who profess the name of Christ, but how do they live their life? Who do you know in your own life that you say, I don't know if they're saved or not? And you know what that starts with? Before you can go and reach them, you have to make sure that you know for sure that if you died today, that heaven would be your home. You have to have that confidence within yourself so that way you can share it with somebody else. And then once you know that, then you can grab another brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, pray with me. Let's go talk to this person. Because when Jesus Christ sent out his disciples, he didn't send them out by themselves. He always sent them out two by two. Grab a fellow brother and sister in Christ and say, come on, let's go talk to this person. And I encourage you and challenge you this next year. Don't just shoot into the school of fish. Don't just shoot aimlessly. Shoot, look to hit one. Look to get one for Christ this next year. Not five, not six. Yes, those are some great goals. But this next year, grab a fellow brother or sister in Christ and look to reach one for Christ. Just one. And don't stop there. Once they get saved, you bring them into the church. Encourage them that you need to get baptized. You need to be following Jesus Christ. And then don't stop there. You continue to follow up with them. Hey, how's your Bible reading? Hey, are you being faithful to church? Hey, you come with me now and let's go reach somebody else. Let's try and reach one together. I tell you what, every time you go out hunting or you go fishing, do you catch something every time? No. But you keep at it till you get something. Christians, don't be discouraged if you try and reach somebody and they keep saying, no, go away, don't talk to me. Keep trying. Keep praying. Ask God to burden your heart for one person for Christ. I'm sure every single one of us can raise our hand and say, I know of at least one person who's not saved. Just one. And this next year, spend that time praying, prepping yourself. Make sure you got your Bible marked. Not looking to attack that person. You're going to die, go to hell. And God can change them. God will change them so their life can be more like Christ. It's for us to bring them to Christ, to introduce them to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, how are you doing this evening? Is there something that you're worried about or you're stressed about? We need to give it to the Lord. If you say, no, I've got things under control, well, then I strongly encourage you tonight, pray and ask God to give you a burden, to give you one person for Christ this next year. Help us not to be lazy. Help us not to be indifferent. No, God, help me to reach someone for Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the challenge brought across. I pray, Father, for this church that they won't quit sharing the gospel. And that each person will take up that personal responsibility to not only know for themselves whether or not they're saved, but also, Father, to be sharing that with others. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This pastor comes forward this evening.
Let's stand together for a few moments and allow opportunity. If anybody, if God spoken to your heart, we'll have a verse of invitation. And if God leads you, come pray at this altar or pray right where you are. And we'll close in just a few moments. We'll have a verse of invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Thank you, and thank you for this. I'm the only one caught a fish tonight, and so I really like it. I appreciate it very much. It'll remind me of you guys. Appreciate your family. We're going to ask you to go ahead and dismiss to the back, you and your wife and children. Guys, get by there and get a prayer card. Look at some of the things that are there on the stuff from the islands that you can take a look at, and Let them know you love them and appreciate them. They've got a lot more to do for their furlough, lots more miles to make over the next several months, so just keep them lifted up in prayer. And by the way, as you know, he's a third-generation missionary. His dad, Terry, continues to struggle with his health. Terry and Gloria are there in Saipan for the time being. They haven't been able to go back to Palau, but his health he's got some internal allergies. That's a really complicated situation, and he's not even able to travel right now and go back to Palau. So we want to keep Brother Terry in our prayers as well. And so let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Hope you have a good week. Look forward to seeing you here Tuesday morning if you're young at heart. Bible study Tuesday night. Come be a part of that, okay? All right, good deal. Randy, Robert, will you lead us in prayer, please?